Well, good afternoon, everyone. Good to see your smiling faces. They're still smiling after all these years. Amazing. Good to see you. Well, I can remember back. Many of us have been in the church a long time. And how many were in Worldwide before some time ago? Most everybody? Yeah, so I thought. I can remember back in Pasadena where Mr. Armstrong, Peru W. Armstrong, would be giving the Bible study, and his thunderous voice would be there and his energy. And working with the TV studios, I got to see him backstage often. We could take cameras back there. And it was interesting, as he got older, toward the end of his life, he would be backstage kind of leaning against the wall, and you think, how could he even walk out there and speak? And then once he got that energy going and God inspired him, he walked out on stage with gusto, and he would say things like, brethren, we're going to rule with a rod of iron in the world tomorrow. You might remember hearing those words. That's true, we are going to rule with a rod of iron, but this afternoon what I want to do is talk about a dichotomy, because Scripture also indicates that's not Jesus Christ's preferred way to rule. So how are we going to rule in the world tomorrow with a rod of iron, at the same time, do it the way Christ said, as servants, loving, caring shepherds? So that's what we're going to talk about here this afternoon. If you want a title, you can just put it, Ruling in the World Tomorrow. How will we do that? Revelation 2, verses 26 through 27, talking to a Thyatira church, it shows again that we are going to be ruling as members, spirit beings of God's eternal family, with a rod of iron. It's talking to the Thyatira church, but it can apply to any of God's people at any time. The same promises apply to us. And he says this there, as John was inspired to write down these words. And he who overcomes, actual words from Jesus Christ, the now resurrected spirit being, he that overcomes, that's the big key, isn't it, and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like a potter's vessel. Like taking a big pot, putting it up here in the lectern, taking your rod of iron out, smashing it into millions of pieces. That's the analogy that's given. Are we going to rule that way? Is that Christ's preferred way to rule? Well, we'll answer that question as we go through here this afternoon, because there is a dichotomy here in Luke 22, verses 25 through 26. We're told just the opposite. And he said to them, this is Jesus Christ talking, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship, or lorded over people, over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. Okay, this is a different approach to management. On the contrary, who is greatest among you, let him be your younger. And he who governs, as he who serves. So on one side you got a rod of iron, on the other side you got a servant. So how are we going to do that in the world tomorrow? How do those two things fit together? How does this dichotomy, these things are two different principles appear to be contrasting to each other? And how are we going to rule in the world tomorrow? Well, as we begin the government of God, we're resurrected, you know the story. We review this at the Feast of Tabernacles probably. We'll be resurrected at the seventh trump. We'll meet Christ in the air. We'll get on our white horse and we'll ride in for the final battle, some people call the Battle of Armageddon. Okay, that's going to be a time when we will use that rod of iron. We will take that baseball bat made of metal and start swinging, because there's going to be a lot of rebellious people who will turn and fight us along with Jesus Christ as we return. So again, the question is that the style we're going to use for management of the kingdom of God throughout eternity, at least through the millennium? We'll answer that question here as we go through. It does say very specifically in Revelation 19:15, talking about Jesus Christ. Now, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. This is as he returns, and we're with him. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he goes on to talk about how people standing there to fight Jesus Christ in battle, their flesh would just melt off their bones. Their eyeballs will melt out of the sockets, and they'll fall down. And there's a 200-mile valley on the edge of Jerusalem, the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And it says that it'll be filled with dead bodies and debris and blood up to the horse's bridle. It may be literal, it may be figurative, but either way, it's going to be a pretty disastrous battle. And we win. The good news is we win. And we have to use those rods of iron that God will give us at that time to put down the rebellious that need to be put in cold storage for 1,000 years, brought back to life later, when they can now have a better attitude, and we can work with them at the great white throne judgment as we picture it. But once the rebellion has slowed down, and people begin to accept Jesus Christ as their ruler, Will we still be wielding that rod of iron very often? Or will we be patiently teaching, gently helping, encouraging those to lead their life the way God plans, by the laws of God and His teachings? You know, we have an example, you're all familiar with it, Zechariah 14, 16 through 17. It talks about those that will not come up to keep the feast, the tabernacles. What's going to happen? Jesus Christ is going to be sitting in Jerusalem in His temple, and we're probably going to be there with Him. What's going to happen? He's going to muster an army. He's going to tell us, get your rods of iron and go out and crack these people over the head. They're not obeying my laws. No, that's not what it says. Just the opposite. He's patient. He's kind. He's going to correct them, yes. They are wrong, yes. But He won't do it with a rod of iron, even that early on in the millennium. But some nations will refuse to come up to keep the feast. The response Jesus Christ has to the stubbornness, the carnality that's there, they're not converted yet. It'll be measured and merciful. God will allow them time for their carnal minds to become spiritual minds. They'll give them time to change from the way we all are as carnal human beings to what God wants, more spiritually minded people. And He's simply going to bring no rain. That's not a rod of iron. They're not going to have any rain. They're going to get the point, but it's not going to be directly by somebody beating them over the head saying, this is the way, walk you in it with an iron fist or an iron club. They will need mental healing. They will need time to change. They will need comfort. Isaiah 40 talks about that. Isaiah 40 verses 1 through 2 says, comfort, yes, the beginning of the millennium. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare has ended. They've just gone through the most horrific 3.5 years in human history. They've survived mentally, but maybe not completely whole, mentally and physically. It's going to be a time to be comforted. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord double for her sins. It's going to be a time of healing and restoration. So what will be the main focus of our management style? Well, we'll start out using that rod of iron as needed to crush the rebellion. But as people begin to focus on God's way, they begin to learn, okay, this is a good way to live. Maybe I should really try this thing. Maybe I should send a group of people up to Jerusalem to find out what Israel's like. The modern nation of Israel is going to be settled there. And Jesus Christ and that government. Maybe this is a better way of life. As they begin to become more in tune with God, the less we'll need to use the iron rod. The less we'll have to be dictatorial in our approach. And that'll happen. You know, it's interesting to look at the Greek word that says rule. Rule with a rod of iron in Revelation 2:27. It comes from a Greek word, P-O-I-M-A-N-E-I, and it's derived from the word which means shepherd, P-O-I-M-E-N. So the literal translation of that scripture is we will rule as a shepherd. Some translations actually put it that way. One is the concordant literal translation, more literally what the words mean. It says this, he shall shepherd them with an iron club. An iron club, shepherded. So we think about a shepherd. Did he take the shepherd out with his iron club and go out and beat the sheep to get him to go where he wanted him to go? To another pasture, to where the stream would give them water? No, that iron club was mainly to protect the sheep from wild animals, to be able to pull them out of a crevice if they fell down in the crack, to be able to help them, maybe nudge them a little bit to go in a certain direction. That was their approach. We should be shepherds. Christ is going to be the ultimate shepherd in the world tomorrow. And that's the example we should be learning to live by today. That's what Peter said in 1 Peter 5, 1 through 3. What did he say? He said, the elders who are among you, I exhort. I, who am a fellow elder. He didn't say, look, I'm in charge here. I'm getting out my iron club and I'm going to beat on you people. You're not leading the people the wrong way. No, he didn't do that. He said, I'm a fellow elder. I'm just like you. You're just like me. How should we be serving God's people? Goes on to say, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Now, verse 2 of 1 Peter 5, shepherd the flock of God which is among you. Should be shepherds, serving as overseers, not as dictators with an iron club. The flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, not because, oh, there they go again, got to crack down. No, not by compulsion, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain. You think about all the people that left when Worldwide exploded and many different groups came out of it. Many of the people in those positions left too, or they stayed in worldwide because they got a paycheck. Many of them were there for the position. They were there for personal gain. They were respected, highly respected in the early days of the church. But once that was gone, many of them were gone too. They did it for personal gain. Not as being lords, notice you're not supposed to lord it over people, over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd, appears, you will receive your crown of glory that does not fade away. So God shows his preferred management style in many places in the Bible. One example is given in Jeremiah 9:24. It talks about what God delights in his management style. It says, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. That's where our glory should be. That I am the Lord, exercising, what does he do? What kind of example does God set? Exercising loving kindness. Judgment. Yeah, there is judgment. God's laws are always God's laws. His ways are always God's ways. He will never compromise one iota for anybody, but he has mercy as well and gives people time to change. Fortunately, he gives us time to change as well. Judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these, God says, I delight. This is my preferred management style. He gets no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He doesn't like to beat up on people, but he will if he has to. We will do that as the tribulation comes to an end and we begin to reign. We'll need that iron rod for a while, rod of iron. Jesus Christ wants us, though, to come to him not because we're afraid. Maybe we came in the church way back when because the tribulation was about to come, we thought. And we were going to save our skins and go to that place of safety. Maybe that was the original motivation, but that's not what God's after. He wants obedience because we realize God loves us. We need to have the gratitude and appreciation that what he does is for our best interest. We should have that unshakable conviction that he knows what's best. That old TV show, maybe in black and white, Father knows best. Well, he does. He knows what's best for you. He knows what's best for me. And all things work together for good to those who love God. And one of the things he wants is a group of people who spent their entire lives developing godly character, the character of Jesus Christ, those who can be trusted to exercise great power. We're going to have great power as spirit beings. We probably will just have a spiritual rod of iron. We won't need much else. In the sermon I was giving last Sabbath in Canada, I talked about there's a prophecy of the millennium. And it goes on to talk about people coming to life, having eternal life at the resurrection of the first resurrection. Why is it a better resurrection was the subject of that message. And the point was, they're going to fly in the sky like a cloud, it says. And Jeremiah, I believe it is. And they're going to be like a bird that flies up to the nest. We'll be able to be anywhere we want, fast as a thought, we could be there. That's going to be our responsibility. But we're training now to learn to govern God's ideal way as a servant, as a shepherd, as a loving, caring individual, trusting God to exercise great power because he will trust us, but he also will want and know that we will even have more love and mercy and patience than we will wielding a rod of iron. Supporting his way of life is sure with justice and mercy for all. So Christ's righteous judgment is as a shepherd. Jeremiah 3:17. At that time, Jerusalem shall be called the throne of the Lord. That's where Jesus Christ is going to be settling. And all the nations shall gather to it, and the name of the Lord to Jerusalem. No more shall they follow the dictates of their evil hearts. They're going to change. It'll take some time. And verse 15 says this, talking about you, talking about me. Verse 15 of Jeremiah 3. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart. Do we have God's heart when we're dealing with other people? Who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. We'll lead them as a shepherd leads a sheep in the right direction. We'll find, as it says in Psalm 23:1-3, the Lord is my shepherd. We want a shepherd as God, as to be our God, and he will want us to be shepherds as well. So, brethren, let's learn while we have the chance to be God's shepherds.